the proposal without any reservation.
Is there any further nomination, honorable members? In an absence of further nomination, honorable Matilda, can you take over the chairperson?
No, thank you. As it has been indicated, members, can we just observe a moment of silence in honor of the passing on of the mother of the chairperson of this particular of this committee? Yes. Wasting time.
In addition to the motion, the moment of silence, can I propose that this committee sends a motion of condolence to the family on behalf of the entire cluster, both committees?
I think the secretary has got that we must also buy flowers. The committee can also buy flowers to the family. For the funeral. Members are aware that we now have a new minister, King Richard Baloyi, who has been a minister in this committee, but for COPTA now. So that was announced yesterday. We must also welcome the new minister, and we hope he'll soon come to this committee in his new portfolio. Let us also welcome the MEC from KZN, who will immediately take over and brief us. Welcome, MEC, and let us proceed. Let me hand over to you. Thank you.
Honourable members, good morning, and our deepest condolences as well to the chairperson, mother, and we wish to send our comfort, hoping that God is going to be with them during this difficult time. It's not an easy time to lose a pillar of the family. Chairperson, honourable members, you will also forgive me, my voice is not a 100% voice. It's not a rally voice. Like I always talk with a rally voice, but I've been having tonsils, but today I think, thanks God, it's better, so I can even be able to talk. For the past few days I couldn't talk because of the tonsils, but I hope I'm going to be audible with those limitations. We're here to brief the committee on the progress so far that we've made in terms of the interventions that we have in KwaZulu-Natal. Members, you remember that our interventions are all in terms of 139.1b, which you will also forgive us, we refer, I think in your documents, there's somewhere where we refer to the administrators. It's actually not administrators. It's a misleading name because they are ministerial representatives. They're not administrators. You only appoint administrators if you dissolve the municipality or if you take over the municipality. And in this case, we did not take over the municipalities. We just took over the executive committee function to run the municipality, since they could not on their own be able to run their affairs. And we did that in terms of Section 139(1)(b) of the Constitution, as directed. You would remember that we've been to this committee a number of times giving you progress with regard to the work that we've done. I see that there hasn't been too much change, so I don't want to bore you. You've heard a lot about what's going on in these municipalities, honestly. But just to start with the Umhlabyalingana, because that is where we have terminated the 139(1)(b), we have been able to have quite good success there in terms of handing over a new and a well baby, as it were, to the new municipality. You remember that we've just been through the elections on the 18th of May, and in June, was it in June, that we did not renew the intervention because we felt that the municipality was in a healthy stage. The recovery plan of 55 remedial outputs that we had put for ourselves and for the municipality has been achieved. By April 2010, we had been, they have been completed the financial turnaround in the municipality. All creditors had been paid off. The bank balance was sufficient to cover all the conditional grants and to also allow for the implementation of the programs that the municipality wanted to action. In fact, a number of projects were even implemented prior to elections, electricity, housing projects that we've launched, as well as some water schemes. At the end of June, the municipality closed the financial year with a cash balance of 8.3, and for the first time in 5 years, and that was quite an achievement. There's also been a stabilization in terms of the finances of the municipality as we are. They're standing at 58 million by the end of May 2010. That is, if members, honorable members, remember that we, when we took over, they were at minus zero balance in that municipality, and they could not even pay for the salaries of the staff for the month when we took the decision to take over the municipality. So as we talk, they are standing at the cash balance of 58 million at the end of May 2011, in which provisions have been made for 500 for service delivery in the budget, in the service delivery budget for 2010-11. 16 million for the service delivery 11-12. Civil recoveries are underway to recover approximately 15 million from the former municipal manager and the finance manager. The cases have been opened. We do not have, I don't see the case number here, but we do have the case numbers of all the cases that we have opened as the department, because we now have a new strategy that we do not wait for municipality to open criminal cases as well where they are necessary. We go on and we open the criminal case on our own, and then we also are expecting municipalities to also do the same, including then where necessary. We do also assist the municipality in running the disciplinary hearings and also those civil claims, because sometimes municipalities do not have the capacity to can run successfully some of these disciplinaries themselves, which allows us then to be able to recover what is supposed to be recovered. So that is where we're standing at the moment with the Umhlabyalingana as it is. The new council that has taken over, they have taken over a healthy municipality. We are still having some sort of a hands-on kind of interaction with them. We've taken the executive through to understand what were the previous problems that were there, and so that they know where the municipality is coming from and they do not fall into the same trap as the previous council. Okashamba, the municipality has stabilized with regard to its financial position, which has improved from the 16 million deficit to an anticipated 4.2 million surplus by the end of this financial year. Considerable progress has been made with regard to putting in place. Yes.
Okay, can we just conclude in
the first
of Okashamba holding that so that we dispense of it?
Sure.
I'm not sure if members have got clarification questions.
I want to congratulate you, MEC, and yeah, you don't need your lovely voice, because we're all friendly here. It's not like when we're out there, but I think we need to congratulate you on the way you handle this. I just want one certainty, let me rather say this, that the voice that we've been making, particularly Honourable Matilda's voice, is that we must charge people who are. We mustn't go to forensic audits and all sorts of things. We must lay charges and get them locked up. But we've seen now that in the Free State, in a given municipality, where the biggest culprit has now been reemployed. Do you blacklist these people who you are now charging to make sure that they are not reemployed as senior officers, financial officers, or whatever the case may be, somewhere else in your province?
Unfortunately, there is no blacklisting kind of system, but we keep a tab on them.
Yeah.
We've actually recently caught two that were employed, and we communicated with, in fact, even including one of who was working in our department, was dismissed. And he was also employed somewhere as the municipal manager. We discovered that, and we phoned the municipality, and we told them that person should not be employed. And in fact, we said they must charge that person because he did not divulge that he was expelled previously in the previous employ because of that. So we do keep an eye, we do check, but there's no formal, anything that is available that you can put in the system and keep track, except for the word of mouth, but also for talking about it with our colleagues. We have spoken to the municipalities. The good thing is that with the new legislation that requires municipalities to inform the MEC of the new employment of the municipal managers in particular, but also they do send us information about the Section 57 managers as well, we are then able to keep tracks of who's where. We have quite a good relations with all our municipalities as well. They do invite us even to their interview panels sometimes, and they do ask us for advice and keep us abreast of what's going on. So that's the only way we are using to keep track of those ones. Other than that, we are, yes, we're very aggressive in terms of ensuring that we do keep track on the civil claims and also the criminal claims, and that is why we've taken a decision to lay charges ourselves, because previously we were relying on municipalities to say, okay, municipality, lay criminal charges, and sometimes the council would not want to take such a decision. So we don't rely on them. We've also been in discussions with the Hawks, even nationally, to say we need help in terms of these prosecution. That's why we have case numbers that we're saying all these case numbers, we want them to be followed up, and we want to see progress. So that's how we are keeping tab on.
Is there any other?
No, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Thanks, MEC. But you see, in your presentation here, nothing has been mentioned by you on the criminal issues. Civil is here, but not the criminal. We are interested in the criminal aspect. You see, we can't leave these people going from one municipality to the other without being charged. We are very strong, and I support what Mr. Watson is saying. Mr. Matila, he raised it now and then. So we want it on in black and white how many people are being charged, not civil alone, but criminal, because they took money of taxpayers. Thanks, Chair.
No, I think we agree, MEC, if we can receive that information. Fortunately, our chair of police is here. We want to make follow-ups with the police and the Justice Department as to where all these things are, you know, so that we can assist provinces to deal with all these matters. If that can be forwarded, if we can have that information, I'm not sure in the next meetings. Yeah. At the same time, if we can make follow-ups to these municipalities, I'm not sure which province are we going to visit. But if we go to KZN, then let's make follow-ups in terms of these municipalities. Thank you. Members, can we agree that in terms of Mhlaba Wanyangana, we uplift the suspension? Yeah. Thank you. Can we proceed, Ms.?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Chair, we do have, as I said, we do have case numbers. We will leave them with you now before we leave today. We do have, so we have all that information. The next one is Okahlamba. In terms of the progress on Okahlamba is still under Section 139. The municipality has stabilized. We've had meetings with the new executive committee there, and the financial position, which improved from the 16,300,000 deficit to an anticipated 4.2 million surplus by the end of the financial year. Considerable progress has been made with regard to putting in place various financial systems and the controls. The governance and institutional systems are in place. In fact, before the elections, the previous council had workshops to try and assist them to understand what is it that the councillors are expected to do in terms of the oversight over the administration. In terms of the exit strategy, there are still matters that require continuity, and for this purpose, it was important for us that we continue with the intervention, but also it was on the request of the new municipality that was elected after May 18th that they requested us to continue with the intervention. Also, it is pertinent to note that a municipal manager has recently been suspended. Although we have achieved progress in this municipality with regard to the intervention, at the moment we are still focusing on our exit strategy. The municipality prior to 30th of June was without a municipal manager, as he had been suspended, and the new position of the Director of Corporate Services was also vacant. A new council after the election was not aware of the nature of the complexities. As I was saying, that is why then it was important for us to stay on so that we can assist the new leadership in understanding some of the challenges that have been faced by the previous municipality, and also ensure that they are able to continue with our exit plan and our exit strategy. The extension was made until the end of December, and the municipal representative there is presently implementing the exit strategy on the performance indicators as had been identified in the previous exit strategy. You will see that the assessments that has been done is that a comprehensive revenue enhancement strategy had been adopted. They had the 80% rates collection rate that has been achieved to date. Committees of council have been established, including the municipal public accounts committees. The process of filling one vacancy on the audit committee has been in place since June. The annual report had been finalized, and the budgeted vacancies are in the process of being filled. We also have a program there, the small town development programs that we are implementing to also assist the municipality. Various financial, administrative, and governance policies, as well as human resource policies, had been adopted by the previous municipality prior to the 18th of May. So we have made progress, but as we said that in our interaction with the, you know that it took us 2 months after May to set up the new councils. In our meeting, it was clear that the new executives are still really needed to grasp the understanding of the challenges and be able to take on this challenge of a municipality under distress. So this is where we are with this municipality.
Thank you, Ms. Members, this is Okosamba. I'm not sure what's the situation now, because you've suspended the municipal manager. We're not sure what are the reasons, what are the problems, because they're not spelled out in as far as this report is concerned. And we're not sure as to whether, without those positions filled, is December reasonable? You know, the end of because it's within 2 months. Is it reasonable to extend until that time? We're not sure. If we can have some answers, but members, the floor is open for us to continue with issues.
Let me add to what your question. You see, he was suspended, but he is also dismissed. You see, the municipal manager was dismissed by the new council. And the reasons why we are interested, I agree with you. What is the reasons? Let's hear.
Thank you, Chair. The new administration, I think probably that's where I need to clarify that in the previous administration, the municipal manager was suspended because of these charges. Maybe I would need to remind members, because in the last presentation we did have the reasons for the intervention in Okahlamba. That the municipality was experiencing poor cash flows. The municipality did not have proper governance structures in terms of policies. They did not have any human resource policies. They did not have financial management policies. They did not spend their monies, and their grants were not cash backed. And all those things of administrative maladministration were the charges of the previous municipal manager. That's why then he was suspended at that time. And eventually, with this a new municipality, he was then discharged. And the vacancy has been advertised by the new administration, as well as the top management structure. What we normally do is that before the intervention elapses, which is this time, it's the 31st of December, we are going to be having a meeting with the administration as well as the council executive to do an assessment as to how far we are with the implementation of the recovery plan. That is why our focus at this point is mainly on the exit plan, exit strategy plan, to say when we leave the municipality, is it going to be in a position to run on its own, or is it not going to be in a position to run on its own? After that assessment, together with the municipality, we then make a decision whether to stay on or to give it back to them. We do not give the administration back if they are not ready or if they do not have the capacity. That's how we normally work. We work in a collective manner with the municipality because we believe that the intervention is not a bailout or it's not relegating responsibilities to somebody else. These councillors are elected to do their jobs, and some people are also employed to do their jobs. So it's not our place to take over and actually run the municipality. They should run it themselves. For us, as those spheres of government, national and provincial, our job is to support, is to assist and capacitate and make sure that they execute the functions as given by the Constitution. So that's how we work. We work in a cooperative manner, not in a big brother or in a way that say we know it all. It is kind of a joint process. That is why even in this case, it's not going to be us alone who are going to say we are staying or we're leaving. It's going to be a joint decision with the municipality to say yes, we are now in a position, and that's not going to be determined by us. It's going to be determined by the process of saying in the issues that we had raised that were wrong, have these been complied with? Do we have a municipal manager? Do we have senior top managers now? Have they been employed? So once all those issues have then been dealt with, we are then able to say yes. Do we have money in the bank? Do we now in a position to implement the recovery plans? So all those issues are a prerequisite for us to terminate the interventions of 139-1B.
Yes.
Thank you, Honorable MEC. I think the turnaround strategy is very encouraging, all the laid out proposals there. My question just is the anticipated 4.2 million surplus, would that mean that your collection percentage will show significantly towards the 90s by the end of the financial year?
Member Bloom?
Chairperson, it's a follow-up on the previous question. You see, on towards 31st December, that document, preliminary findings of a forensic investigation by PwC have been reported to SAPS and Hawks. The former mayor, municipal manager, and director, corporate services have been implicated. Can we get such a report as the committee to see to what is it? The second one, Chair. The next paragraph is that I see that the former manager, technical services, he is now currently the deputy mayor of that municipality. He has been investigated by serious crimes unit in relation to charges of rape of municipal officials. What is the situation?
Besides that, members, you see, municipal manager, director of corporate services, these are two strategic positions. If they're not filled by then, how do you discuss an exit strategy? You see? Because those are key areas, those are key areas, besides the other point that has been raised. we were not sure as to whether are we not going back to the same situation. If an explanation can be given to us around that specific area.
Yes, Chairperson, honourable members, the collection rate, yes, it will improve as it has improved now. As you see, it's standing at 80% from a deficit, yeah, of 16 million to a surplus. That is because of that 80%. And if we were to go up, maybe 85% will definitely then again improve. I think that is also was due to a very good cooperation that we have with the ratepayers associations. The previous ministerial representative worked very well with the chambers of commerce there, with the ratepayers association, with the civic organizations, in terms of putting in place a plan where on a regular basis there was a briefing sessions for these community structures on what is going on with the intervention, how is the municipality recovering, and I think that plan really worked quite fine, and that is why we've seen that improvement, and as I say, that we're hoping that as the collection rates improve, so will be the anticipated surplus as well by the end of this term or this quarter. With regard to the issue of the PwC, yes, this is a preliminary report that we have. We are still awaiting the final report from the PwC. So as then to see what needs to be done, but while the PwC report is going on, already the matters, the serious matters arising from that report had been reported to the SFs and to the Hawks, and they are busy investigating. So there are parallel processes that are going on as we talk in that municipality. With regard to the municipal manager and the senior manager's posts, they had been advertised. There is a company, a recruitment company in place that is assisting the municipality with fast-tracking the recruitment of those senior managers as well as the municipal managers. We are really hoping that before the end of next month, either the municipal manager or the senior managers, or all of them, will be in place. But as I said, the plan is that for us, come 31st of December, we will have to make an assessment as to where we are at that stage, and then we'll know whether the intervention is still necessary or it is not necessary.
Chairperson, I have requested a copy of the preliminary report. I understand they are still busy, but let's look into that thing. What is there in that thing? You see, Chairperson, I am very much scared of adopting a thing and we don't know what is what and the progress. We as an oversight body must check if these things are implemented in those things. You see, the MEC have also not addressed the issue of the rape. The new deputy mayor has been charged with a serious thing, rape of officials.
Can you agree that in the next week, can we have a copy of that particular report?
No, Chairman, unfortunately, we cannot have a copy of that report. It is not possible until the report has been finalized, because there will be people that are implicated, and you cannot release such a report until such time that the investigation has been finished, the other side have been heard, and all the investigations are complete. So there won't be, even ourselves, we do not have a right to that preliminary report until it's given to us officially, and then we take charge of it. so we will not be in a position, Chair. The municipality wants the investigation has been done. We are all of us just like you, Chairperson, and honorable members are doing your oversight role. We are doing our oversight role as well, as the province, as the people who are in charge of this 139, together with the national government. So we will take it, Chair, that once the report has been finalized, we will have a copy, and at that stage it will then be made public. It will be tabled to council officially, and then it will also be given to us officially, and then we'll be able to give to the honorable members here. The issue of the rate charges, these also are investigations, Chairpersons. There has not been any finality on the case. They are investigations. That's why it's being said here that this is a serious case that is going on, and you know the processes that are involved when somebody is implicated. Those have got to be investigated, and people will then be dealt with in terms of that criminal investigation that SEPS is doing there.
The point that has been raised here is whilst we have this intervention, there are new issues that are coming up, you know, and it's a concern to the committee, you see? Because if there was an intervention, you know, you're telling us about improvement, you know, whilst there are new issues coming up, you know, now the question will be, is there any improvement or not? Because remember, we had all these issues previously. Now we have new issues coming up that have been stated. I mean, the latter issue that you just spoke about, a person who has been in the management of the council, who's now a deputy mayor, implicated into new issues that are, you know, there are all those issues. How long has these issues been taking place? Because we're not sure as to whether, in terms of these particular charges, did they happen previously and nobody knew about them, or are they recent issues? Is it? Yeah. Now, you see, those were not sure about that particular situation, you see. And that is why members are concerned about that. But maybe if you can assist us, because how soon can you have some report around these particular issues? How soon? Because if they drag on, it's also a problem, you see. Because we can't wait until 2014, we can't wait until the end of next year with these issues. You can't come back in December and say, let's uplift, because you're asking an extension up to December. Let's uplift with these issues pending. No, those are the questions we're asking ourselves. What is it that you're talking about?
Yes, Chairperson, honorable members, well, it will be as soon as we get the report, then that will be made available, Chair. These matters are not new, Chair, that are being raised here. They were raised in the previous reports as well. We are giving you progress, and there is progress, Chair. There is progress on these matters. That is why we are reporting on the progress, that at least now we do have a preliminary report from the PwC. What normally happens, honorable members, Chair, is that when the investigation is going on, the investigators will have a preliminary report.
You have a preliminary report, no? What's wrong with us getting the same report that you have? Because we understand you don't have the final report. Because I think the request here is, let's have what you have.
I don't have it, Chair. What? How it normally happens, Chair, I was trying to explain. How it normally happens everywhere, you get a the investigators issue a preliminary report. And that preliminary report is going to the people that are implicated. for them to state their case and also to respond to some charges and all the things that are raised there. And then based on that, the forensic investigators will then compile a final report so that when the final report comes out, if it says you have to account for 1, 2, 3, that other person has already put their side of the story so that you don't then get taken to court to say you have said I've done this when I actually did not do it. The preliminary report is not our report. It's a PwC report that is now verified for one of the lack of the better word on the cases and whatever charges that are there in that report.
Member Bloom? You see, who is the complainant? Who is the complainant? Who have asked PwC to investigate this case? It is the municipality or COCTA. Now, COCTA must first get the report. It's not the people that is implicated. But you see, the other point, Chairperson, in this, what the MEC is saying, there's already two names mentioned here. So how will these people be implicated? This report is saying, this, what the MEC, the mayor, the former mayor, municipal manager, director, corporate services have been implicated. Is there other people that is implicated as well?
Yes, Chairperson, there will be other people that are implicated as well. The report was sanctioned by the municipality. It was not our report. So that's why we are all waiting with eagerness that you have to get sight of what is in that report, to make sure that we follow up on whoever has done whatever wrong, and we'll take it to its final conclusion.
You see, MEC, the point that has been raised here, that there is an interim report that you have sight of.
I don't have.
But you can't report on something that you don't have sight of.
Yes.
That is the issue we are raising here. You can't report on something that you don't have sight of, you see?
Yeah.
Now, can we request that, what, because you see, it's in black and white now, mm-hmm. and that's what you're stating here in black and white. That means you have sight of that situation. That's what it means at the end of the day. What the committee is simply asking for is just that interim report that you have, you know, so that we must have, we must be on the same page with yourselves. With yourself as to how serious these issues are or not, so that the committee can take the necessary decision.
Yes.
And that's the only request that we want. You see? Because you can't say the PEC has issued an interim report, a preliminary report, or PwC.
Yeah.
At the same time, you state it in black and white in terms of your own report to us. And then you come back to us and say, you don't have sight of it. What do you mean?
Chairperson, I mean that there is a preliminary report, and as we had written in the progress report, a preliminary report has been issued by the PwC, and as I indicated, that the process of forensic or any for other forensic or any other investigation for that matter, is that a preliminary report is not a public document. It is issued to the relevant people that are implicated, and they must state their story, put their side of the story, until there is a finalization of the report, and the owner of the report take charge of that report. We will then all of us be able to have that report and be able to engage on that report. But at this particular time, neither COCTA nor any other person except for the PwC and those people that are implicated know what is in the report.
I'm not sure what powers does this committee have. What most you'll have to check in terms of our own powers as a committee, if need be, we must issue the necessary instructions, because I think there's something seriously wrong here.
Mm.
that is happening. And we can't have that type of situation happening, because it's useless for us to continue engaging on the same issue. It's useless for us to do that. But let's look at our powers as a committee. Because, you see, there can be a report sitting outside somewhere there, where other people have side of it. We can have side of that report. You see. It means there are very serious issues in terms of that particular report. Can we just check Mfoko and then see as to what is it, so that we issue the necessary instructions to that council or to the MEC?
Thank you, Chairperson, MEC, Honourable Member. I second you about this, because it's a very serious issue. As a committee staying in Parliament, we should be know what's happening in the fields of customs. If you fail to get that report, I think there's something missing.
Let us continue to the next. Members must remember, we went to Msunduzi. Where the similar situation and in Msunduzi, where there were serious issues, and where the evasion that is happening now today, is of us getting proper information. And I'm just reminding members of what happened in Msunduzi. And to date, in this report, we're asked to extend the intervention in Msunduzi. Was the evasions there? And we're saying that on those bases. Yeah. But let's go to Indaka and continue.
President, on the very same issue, and I agree with you, let's pass. But you see, the presentation for this paragraph, what the MEC is saying, is a hearsay story. Because she have not seen that report. It's a hearsay issue.
Chair, I think I will have to agree with the MEC. She is correct. It is a matter of procedure that the people who are implicated, who are being investigated, their side of story should be heard. So we are not supposed to see that report before it is finalized. I think the MEC has a point. We only have to await for the final report. That is the one we will be entitled to see. On this one, she is correct.
Chairperson, I disagree completely. I have seen preliminary reports many a times to my committee, the previous committee. It's not a new thing. We, as this committee, can treat, if they are worried, can treat it as confidential in this meeting. But no document can be kept away from Parliament. From a committee. There is no such a thing. And I am saying, Chairperson, this point, it's a, if the MEC is saying she have not seen that document, then it's a hearsay story what the MEC is reporting to us.
No, I've just ruled that our administration must look into the necessary rules or legislation that guides us.
Yeah.
So that we can deal with that situation. Because at this point in time, there's nothing we can do further than that.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's look at that particular situation and it will be raised in our next meeting. But the reality of the matter is, you can't report on something that you don't know. That is the reality of the situation. Yeah. And this point is misleading.
Yeah.
Thank you. But let's proceed. I think she's right in terms of what my colleague is saying. You see? And you see, let's report on something that you can back up. No? Let's not report on something that you can't. Because the problem is, you give us information now, we'll want to know exactly what has happened, which is a problem. But let's not pursue this particular matter until such time that administratively we'll find out what the situation is.
I agree.
And correctly too, the MEC can be right, because you see see, you can't release information if that information is not verified. You can't do that. You see?
I disagree. There's a forensic investigation. A forensic investigation that these people, that's why I'm saying, I will agree with you, let's pack this thing up until they come with a document to say, this is our powers. We are not allowed to get that. But I am certain, as I sit here, that we are allowed to have that document. But I agree with you, let's not go into that and not belabor that.
Yeah, members must remember, we are, Mpumalanga is a classical example. You see, a preliminary report was given to us here.
Exactly.
In Mpumalanga.
Yes.
Remember, when they were still investigating the CFO in that municipality.
Yeah.
They were still investigating. It was given to us to say these are the issues. And this person was not made to understand because he ran away. He did not even know that they are following him when we had that particular report. Mm. And that's why I'm saying Msunduzi, the same situation arose. You see? I'm just saying these are the issues there, and therefore it becomes important for our administration to deal with that, that situation and come back to us so that we can pursue if we have to. But legally so, too. I mean, we are sitting in the same committee, and my chair here is indicating, because we are told that some instances where magistrates have been suspended, that we can't get this type of information, this is the situation. You know, that's why I'm saying let's investigate and come back to it, because there's nothing further we can do around this specific issue. But let's go into that.
Yes, Chairperson, just for the record check, just to say that we are again giving a progress report. There is something called Aldi Patram rule, and there are procedures, as honorable members are saying, that have to be followed when you're dealing with these issues. And we're not denying any member of any report. And once the report is available, it will be made available to any member.
We are sitting with a situation here. You see, the difficulty you are putting the committee in is whether to agree or not. You know? Because in terms of the report might be misleading. You see? Now, can you just assist us so that we want to finalize this issue of Ukatlama? But in terms of the report here, you are putting us in a very difficult situation. Assist us, members can come in and focus if you can give the necessary advice to the committee.
Chairperson, I think we have to take the word of the MEC and agree to the extension.
Member Bloom?
No, Chairperson, you see, we must first clarify the issue of, you see, the MEC is saying it's a progress report. A progress report. That is my last word. I am saying we must first get this thing straight, that the MEC got this. Is she having this report? She's saying no. Now, I am saying, if she have not seen this report, how can we agree on a hearsay story?
Can the administration assist us?
Chair, my procedural advice will be the committee, in terms of what the MEC told to the council, and what the council referred to the committee for consideration of the body. As a committee, we are required to pronounce ourselves as to whether, as a committee, do we accept the extension that was valid. My advice would be the committee can agree to the extension with condition that once the forensic investigation report has been released, that report will be tabled to the committee. Thank you, sir.
What are members saying?
Chairperson. President. But why are we, there's a new council, isn't it? There's a new council. Why are we debating extension of this thing? Is it not termination of this of this thing? Because there's a new council now.
My understanding, Member Bloom, is that the MEC is asking for an extension to assist this new council to recover from the state that this council was in. There's nothing wrong about it, you see, because those new councillors might not understand the situation. In the, yeah, and that is the point I think the MEC is trying to put across to us. But members, can we agree that we accept the extension and we move forward on the conditions that the administration has put forward to us, that the forensic and all reports, you see, what it means, we might not terminate, we might not extend, if we don't have those reports by December, a progress report.
No, Chairperson, let's have a time frame, not December. Say by the end of it's October now, at the end of November.
I agree it's December, but is it possible? You see, we must, let's be realistic too. Is it possible? Now, in terms of the extension that they seek, let's give them that rope. Let's give them that rope. We must just have progress reports towards that situation. Because we might say the end of November, and they might not be ready. You see? Yeah. Can you agree to that, members? No, that's their request. Now, we can't extend further, because they're requesting up to the end of December. Yeah. It's agreed, yeah? Thank you. Let's move to Indaka.
Thank you, Chair. On Indaka, the progress is that the unnecessary expenditure was kept, all financial records neglected for a 6 month period was updated and is now kept up to date. All outstanding creditors are paid within 30 days as per the FMA. All reserves and the grants are now cash backed, with the accumulated deficit reduced to zero on the 2009-2010 financial year. The municipality was able to reinstate the equitable share amounting to 4.3 million. That was withheld previously due to the non-compliance in the reporting. The municipality was also able to reconcile and recover the outstanding VAT claims to the amount of 1.6 million. All financial policies and procedures have been reviewed and implemented. Internal controls have been introduced to detect irregular transactions. 2009-2010 annual financial statement have been submitted to Council and Office of the Auditor General by the 31st of August, an improvement on the past financial year. The review of the supply chain management resulted in the supplies database being renewed with the correct implementation of the supply chain management processes in place. Although the recovery process has been slow, financial stability has been achieved during the intervention. The organizational review of the municipal administration has led to the reduction of the number of Section 57 employees from 7 to 5. The unmanned community services department was abolished and the function incorporated into the corporate services unit. So that's the progress on Indaga as of June. And we have already met with the new executive of Indaga with an aim of updating them on the work that we are doing as the department with regard to Section 139.1D. And again here, we did have that understanding as well with the new council that came in, where they requested that we extend the administration until the 31st of December. Again, we're taking the same approach, whereby we are having ongoing engagement with the new council, with an aim of assisting them on the exit strategy, with a view of knowing as to come 31st of December, how far we will be, whether we will be extending or we will be removing 139-1B in that municipality. So that's the progress, honorable members.
Are there issues we want to raise in as far as Ndaba is concerned? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask the honorable MEC about the comment or the statement there about that Section 57 employees being reduced from 7 to 5. My question is, does it mean there was a restructuring of senior management, and how does it affect service delivery? Or was some of that service outsourced instead of not needing the municipality to do the service anymore? Or what is the status in terms of that statement that you've made? Thank you.
Just we must approve the extension.
Yes, there was a rationalization. They used to have a community services as a standalone department, and we felt that they did not even have a Section 57. It was a vacant post with somebody acting on that position, and we felt that, in fact, it shouldn't be. I mean, there's no necessity. So it was just a revision of the organogram so that the size of this municipality did not necessitate to have seven senior managers, and we rationalized it to five on the organogram, with the aligning, you know, the powers. As you can see, that community services is fitting with the corporate services, and it's under one, you know, senior manager instead of having two duplication there. The other issue maybe I must mention there, honorable members, is the one that says the ministerial representative resigned in that municipality due to misunderstanding, I can call it that way, and we took the ministerial representative that was in Mhlabeya Lingana, because he's quite good, and we sent him there. He's at least he doesn't Honorable Zulu probably knows him. He doesn't take things lightly, and we've taken long to get things done in Ndaba municipality, because there was no cooperation between the municipality and our ministerial representative, and we are seeing progress now with the new council as well. Things are really different.
Can you extend?
Let's move to some.
Sunduzi progress. The cash flow of municipality is now analyzed daily and has improved drastically, although the municipality is not out of the red. Operating deficit has been reduced. The payment of overtime, which was a contentious issue, has been kept, with only essential services now incurring overtime payment. Although this is still an issue in terms of the workers, some of them going on a go slow, but the matter is being managed. Creditors are now being paid within 30 days, but sometimes it does take more than that because of the screening processes, which is very rigorous, that takes place before any payment is done. The municipality has implemented a credit control and debt management policy effectively, and is managing outstanding debt, which has improved the rates of payment. The supply chain management policies has been revised and have been implemented. Municipality has achieved relative financial stability, and the systems and procedures and internal controls put in place are assisting the municipality in fulfilling its financial recovery plan. 2010-2012 operating and capital budget and the IDP has been adopted. Improvement have been made in terms of the development of the criteria for the prioritization of the capital project on a multi-year basis. A number of policies have since been adopted, such as the budget policy, the tariffs policy, the rates policy, credit management policies, and other essential policies to support the budget process. Similarly, the bylaws for the special rating areas have also been adopted by the Council to facilitate the implementation of the concept of the urban improvement districts areas, and also to ensure the inner cycle city revival plan, which is being implemented together with the Peter Maritzburg Chamber of Commerce. The grant funding is now cash-backed, and the grants register have been developed to track the developments and to account for each grant that have been given to the municipality. The process of the filling of the senior vacant post is in place. The interviews for the MM have been concluded. We are awaiting the outcomes of those interviews. I think they are now doing the screening and all the assessments. The CFO resigned, and all those the shortlisting as well has been done. I think they are the plan was to at least have the municipal manager, so that the municipal manager is also part of the recruitment of the whole senior management team that is there. Other than that, the municipality is recovering slowly but surely. The discussions are ongoing. They have secured funding from the DPSA for the capital budget of 2011-2012. The complexities that are still there are the fact that the municipality have an aging infrastructure, particularly around the electricity, and it needs quite a lot of capital. And presently, the municipality is engaging with the national departments with a view of securing funding for the necessary infrastructure renewal plan that they have put in place. The magnitude and the complexity of Msunduzi's recovery is clearly have been identified by the ministerial representative. And it was for this reason that we extended the intervention for 6 months, which was until the 31st again of December, hoping that by the 31st of December, all the senior management posts will be in place, all the policies will be running, and then the new council, which has come in the 18th of May, will be able to take over a healthy municipality. The good thing is that the new executive committee and the mayor are fairly aware of the challenges that they are facing. The enthusiasm and the commitment that is there makes us very confident that indeed the path that we've taken there in that municipality is a good one, and we are in the right track in terms of ensuring that when we move out of that municipality, hopefully by the 31st, we will be leaving a healthy municipality. Thanks.
Members, there are a number of serious issues that have been raised here. One interesting issue, ma'am, is that when we visited the municipality, don't know municipality. Because if you don't have these officials by now, if you employ them by the end of December, will they be ready? Will they change the situation by then? You know, we're not sure if we can have that explanation. But if there are other questions from members,
thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable MEC, I noted only one of the municipalities you make reference to the Auditor General's report. And I'm sure the Auditor General do have to do the visits as well to these municipalities. Was the visit done? And I'm sure that report should be available to this committee as well, whatever happens there. So I just wanted to know, are these other municipalities besides the last one, well, except the one that I've noted, are they, have they been subjected to that visit and to reports from the Auditor General? Thank you.
Yes, the Auditor General has recently completed these door-to-door visits. He visited all the municipalities, and he's quite impressed, particularly with Msunduzi progress. He's very optimistic that they will be able to turn around, although it might not to the full extent, but we are all positive that it's possible to see, improvement in the audit outcomes of Msunduzi. All the right tools are in place. All the right minds and the attitudes are in place, and those are some of the prerequisites of getting things right, is to have the right mindset, is to have the right tools in place for that municipality to turn around. So we believe we do have that. And as I say, the Auditor General himself was very impressed, particularly with Msunduzi, but also equally about the others. The Msunduzi one is that, as you correctly say, it's a complex one, it's a big one, and everybody, it's a capital, everybody has got the interest in making sure that we get that one right. The previous team, yes, it did make an impact. It did make an impact, and it did make a difference. Well, whether it was necessary to take them from Cape Town or from wherever, I think it was a call that was made by the ministerial representative who was there, and he needed those particular tools, and he preferred to get them at that place. But of course, as you say, it came at a price, because we have to pay the traveling cost and the accommodation cost. But when we realized that, because remember, when he did that, he did not ask for our permission. He's the ministerial representative there, and he's given a duty, and he was, actioning the duty that he was given. But we then had discussions with him to say we believe that we could source these within the KZN, and we had done that. We phased that out, and the same resources were available for him locally, as it were. What was the other issue? The municipality, whether the municipality was able to fund that, it was funded by ourselves, because it is our intervention. The ministerial representative himself was not paid by us, because he was seconded by SALGA. So he was being paid from SALGA. We only paid for his traveling cost and accommodation. And the other one was paid by the EDI. That was the... what was his name? What was his name? Dolfling. Dolfling was paid by the EDI. Because of the phasing out of rates, you remember, all that stuff was made available. Otherwise, from the time when we took over the intervention till now, the estimated costs, including the operational matters and the investigation, are plus minus 5 million that we've had to pay as the department for that intervention to date. So it's been that is why I stressed that point when I was opening to say our attitude is that these interventions are not meant as a bailout to municipalities, nor they are meant as a takeover, because you have people that are paid to do their job, and those people should be paid by doing their job. But in this case of Umsunduzi, we had a different issue in that, you know, the credibility of the individuals that were there, including the style of operation, was such that you needed extra capacity from outside of the municipality if you had to get things right, because there's quite a lot of things, as you could see from the presentation, that we had to fix in that municipality. Other than that, I think, as I said, we believe that we are in a good road. We are very positive that come 31st, Umsunduzi will be able to stand on its own. As I said, the Section 57 managers, all of them, the processes are in place. Within a week, the MM should be announced or pronounced, and then all the other processes will then be in place. At the same time, the recruitment, as I said, for the CFO, they're just waiting for interviews, and for the corporate services, for all the people that have resigned, all those positions have been advertised, shortlisting has been done. They are now busy with the interviews and the finalization of the Section 57 managers.
Chairperson, the team that you're referring to from Cape Town, you know, when we were there, everybody was saying that team is good. I just want to check, why were they not allowed to complete the work?
They were allowed to complete their cycle. They did complete their cycle. We terminated them in June, and we did not renew them for this period, because the previous gentleman as well, he did not want to extend because of elections and other pressures at Salga that he had to go back and do. I mean, in fact, even when we renewed him last time, they were not happy because Salga had to prepare for local government elections and they needed him there. So the whole team then, and we have been, not all of them actually, Dolphin stayed even after the previous one. I think two of them stayed, and gradually, as they completed their task, they were then phased out.
Okay, members, that's the report. Can we accept the report and the extension?
Chair, I move that we approve the extension.
No, thank you, members. Thank you, MEC. I think we came to the end of our meeting. Let's hope that the MEC will keep us abreast. And continue that way. If there's a need for us to revisit these areas and see as to what is happening there, administratively it will be done. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair. Wow.